Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 21st of March, recording at 9:16 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, the highlights here, more selling pressure in the global stock markets. Nothing panicky overall, but we're certainly still getting a downward drift overall. Now, elsewhere, the big action today was really in the U.S. dollar, which rallied quite strongly. Certainly the best gain, a single day gain that we've seen for probably a few months. And that led to a corresponding sell-off in some of the precious metals, particularly, well, in all the precious metals, but the big declines were in gold and also silver. Now, more about that in a few moments. First, as far as the stock markets are concerned, and I'm jumping around in the stock markets, well, in some other stock markets as well, I feel a little bit like somebody leaping from one ice floe to another. It's tricky out there right now, and very easy to get your ankles wet. But I am assuming that the two-year rally, defined by Wall Street's terms from March 2003 through to March 2005, is over. And I think that the main uncertainty here, at least as far as I'm concerned, is whether Wall Street just continues to decline, dragging other markets down with it, or whether we get a little bit further sell-off and then a bounce and some ranging activity and go sideways for several months. Now, of course, I would like to see the latter, despite having some short positions out. I've got more long positions than I have shorts, and so I'd be delighted to see global stock markets steady and to go into a ranging pattern, and I wager that most of you people would as well. And also a fair number of people out there in the greater world overall. And that may be part of the problem, because people had been really quite optimistic. There were a number of bullish forecasts. As you know, the year-end forecasts were relatively cautious, but then they became bolder as the rally resumed following that early January shakeout. Okay, so in terms of action overall, if I was going to open a position in any one country stock market, it would have to be Japan. I think there's a very good case to be made for investors turning, well, I'm talking about non-Japanese investors now, but certainly they've turned cautious on Wall Street, and they may well turn cautious on the European markets. Certainly we've seen them turn cautious on some of the more vulnerable emerging markets, particularly those of Eastern Germany. And therefore, if they're going to put the money somewhere and they really can't stomach these Mickey Mouse bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, and they don't like the credit spreads and so on, then where else do they look? Well, Japan beckons for the very good reason that its bubble had burst, as you know, right back in the beginning of 1990. And that Japan went through a long secular bear market, and that valuations are pretty good, and that the country seems to be at long last doing something about its economic problems, or seems to be improving at this stage. Not quite fair to say they haven't been doing anything about it. But certainly that's been one of the lagging stock markets that has been showing until very recently, but is now showing relative firmness. And looking at the topics index and the Nikkei 225 index, those really look as if they are in very late stages of large base formation extensions, and that they could easily see breakouts on the upside. Now, I was talking to Will Chawner, our Japanese analyst here earlier today, and he asked me what I thought was going to happen if Japan could break up out. I said it would depend in part on Wall Street's close. Well, the Dow down 64, Nearly six on the S&P, but almost unchanged on the Nasdaq. That's not as daunting as it might be. Japan was closed today, incidentally. But that's the one market where, well, I told you several days ago I was still fighting off a temptation to go in and increase my long position. I probably said the prudent thing to do since I've been cutting. Reducing leverage overall, reducing exposure somewhat overall, and I had plenty of exposure, is to wait and see if the Nikkei does break through this 12,000 and a bit. Then I could put another in-the-money stop on the position that I already have. That's the only leverage long I have in stock markets now. And to have enough breathing space so that it wasn't an overly tight stop, such as I had before when I had a large position and had an overly tight in the money stop and just got hoiked out on one day before the rally continued. So I think that's pretty much the way I will play it in here. But for that to work out, it would require the latter of the two earlier scripts that I described, where we don't get stock markets moving steadily down, but they do bounce a bit and go on and rally, even if they're doing it with slightly lower highs, as long as the pattern shows more ranging than trending. And a market like Japan could indeed outperform. Okay. Now, moving on to the government bonds, and they were mostly down in here today. Now, had a look at that Australian government bond market, and incidentally, and jumping around, I appreciate, but the Australian stock market index, I believe, reconfirmed on the upside today, but it was certainly up in here today. Let me just put that up on the screen. Sorry for the delay here, but I'll just go see if that did reconfirm on the upside, because I didn't check absolutely every single index. Yes, it did. So that's one of the key ones that I have been commenting on, and it's still consistent and still hitting new highs. So that would really have to come back below 42, a little bit lower than that, to indicate indicate an upside failure. Okay. Now, in terms of the government bonds, though, I did look at those Australian bond futures, and they've resumed the decline. Now, Australian bonds are not the ones that are going to shake the world. That's going to be US Treasuries. And US Treasuries will, I think, certainly moving in tandem with the JGBs. But the US Treasuries will be the key market. They were down a little bit. In here today, and really the rally, such as it is that we've seen over the last week, has got a bit of a dead cat bounce look to it. In other words, no big deal. And if we get that sell-off continuing, that would not bode well for the stock market overall, for stock markets in general. I noticed also that the Euro bunds are down a little bit in here today. Okay, now on currencies, I said that's the big action here. Now, there was a comment that I posted on Bloomberg that was attributed to some, I think, some Hong Kong monetary official who had said that, I'm paraphrasing now, but don't be too quick to go into euros, that could be destabilizing. Well, we get the destabilizing word thrown around a whole lot these days. People are obviously very, very nervous. But as you know, I had felt last week that the risks were increasing that we would see another technical rally here in the US dollar. And it was that prompted me to get out of my gold futures. And I resisted the temptation to buy them back here today when they broke down, got down to nearly 429, and currently trading down 8 and a bit. 431.30 after hours. But I resisted that temptation because it looks to me we had a good upward dynamic here by the US dollar today. It also MDL'd on the upside, and it looks as if this rally could continue. And I certainly wouldn't write out a test of that February high. And if we do test the February high, we will see the dollar go through that. That February high was up at just over 85 on the US dollar index. So, what I haven't done though, as you know, is that I haven't pulled my orders in silver, but if I'm going to be adding to positions, let alone retaining positions that really do by far their best when we have an overall weak US dollar. I was going to say are totally dependent on the weakness of the US dollar, but that's not certainly not quite the case. But would do much better with a weak dollar, then I'll concentrate on something like silver. And I still have a position though in platinum, and I still have my position in palladium. Those both came down, but not a whole lot. So what I did do though, as you may have seen, is I took out my Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust leveraged position. It's a fund that I is terribly well managed, that I like a lot. I don't think it's expensive, but I wanted a little less leverage overall. And it can be more difficult to move in some of the shares than it is in the commodities, and the commodities also tend to be more volatile, which suits me generally, as long as I haven't got tight stops. Okay, now in oil, last traded spot oil, 57.40, and we had natural gas push back up in here today. Actually, did I say natural gas? Natural gas, where I have a not insubstantial long position, and that had a bit of a shakeout in here today, fell nearly 2 cents, and then firmed. Fell nearly 20 cents, and then firmed right up again, and last traded in here just off the highs, but at 5.57. And I do have profit-taking targets overhead. Overall, looking at the that are already in the market now. Overall, looking at natural gas market, looking at the entire energy sector, natural gas still seems to be the cheap play there, but it's very much weather dependent, this being the US contract, dependent on what's actually taking place in the US, and evidently a little bit of cold air is pushed into the West Coast area, Northwest. And that's pretty much it in it here today. Most of the commodity markets, say, seeing a bit of a reaction in here today. That included soybeans, which have really broken their uptrend momentum, and I'm very much looking forward to or hoping for a pullback and base extension phase, which would enable me to put on a long position. And that's the best of today's action that I've noted. So all the best to you people.